We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Redemption Church. We're so glad that you're here with us, every one of you guys. Love you guys, all of you. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to be sharing God's Word with you today. Thank you for our growing number of YouTube subscribers and podcast listeners. Thank you so much. Listen, guys, we love you so much, but don't just lurk there in the background. If you want to help us, go leave a like, go leave a comment. It really helps us reach other people with the good news of Jesus. All of you in the room right now, y'all could go do that too, and it's really something simple you could do to help us further the gospel, all right? Because that's what we are preaching. We're preaching the gospel. We're in the third week of our sermon series, and it is called what? All Things New. We've been looking closely at the second chapter of the book of Acts. Very good. Jesus brings us new in Acts chapter 2. In week 1, what did we talk about? We talked about hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Say that with me. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. That is the gospel, and believing this gospel will bring you immediately into new things. It will also make you ask a question. That question is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. After Peter had preached to them, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter answers the question. We talked about this last week. What verse does he answer the question in? 2:38, Acts 2 and 38. Such an important verse because it's the first time someone hears the gospel, asks what they should do, and they get the answer. Here it is. Then Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Last week, week 2, we told you about the power of repentance. In repentance, we confess our sins and we receive a new mind, a new direction, a new focus, and a new Lord. That's what repentance will do. I want to tell you that Jesus has more new for you. I want to encourage you to keep walking in the new. Walking in the new is not a one-time thing you do in 1982. How about that, boo? Go on. All right. Walking in the new is not something you do just one time. It's something you got to continue doing. If you don't continue to walk in the new, you immediately digress to the old. Is that all right? Okay, yeah. In the 1980s, Macintosh brought out a computer. And if you were the first person in line to buy that brand new Macintosh computer, that was pretty cutting edge. That was pretty new. But if you never bought another computer and you're over there just hamming it out on that is not new. That is old. All right. If it has been a while since you have felt the new touch of God, if it has been a while since you heard a new word from God, if it has been a while since you felt the newness of His Spirit, then you are walking in some old. You got it? Who wants to walk in some new? I tell you, I have been burning up to preach this sermon this week, okay? Now, if you want to walk in the new, I want you to preach with me, but I got to tell you, I am going to go hog wild on this sermon, and if you do not preach with me, it's just going to get awkward, so you might as well preach it with me. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? Can we practice that? See, that's how you preach with the preacher. Jesus gives us new, and you get excited about it just like that. Thank you so much for putting up with this, Pastor, but I'm not going to stand around and just wait for us to get through a service. We've got life-changing things that have to happen in this house. You can walk in new things, but I got to warn you. Look at somebody say, it's a warning. It's a warning. The deeper you walk into new, the more you will start to hear discouraging voices say, you don't have to do that. The more you walk into new, The deeper you go into faith, the deeper you go into watching the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, becoming a witness, becoming a soul winner, becoming a prayer warrior, becoming deep in the newness of God, you will start to hear voices say, you don't have to go that far. I mean, it's nice and all. I really appreciate your effort, but you don't have to do. Anybody receive that? Anybody experience that? The deeper you go into newness. I have seen far too many young people get filled with the baptism of His Spirit, be so excited and on the front row jumping up and down, but they're in a dead church. They're in a church that just watches them. And they've been saved for 30 years, but they haven't had a walk with God in those 30 years. And they slowly pull down the newness of that Christian and turns them into them. You don't have to, I appreciate your excitement, but you know, we don't really have to worship the Lord that way. You don't really have to do those things. My goodness, that better never be said at Redemption Church. You don't have to, you get to. You get to worship God at a new level. You get to go to a new place in his word. You get to go to new things in His Spirit and in His calling. You get to. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to. You get to. I want full participation. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to. You get to. You will actually hear fellow Christians say, that's just optional. That's not necessary. And this is the case with our subject tonight. We talked about repentance last week, so what do you think we're going to talk about tonight? Baptism. Everyone say baptism. Oh, man. Baptism has long been a subject that has brought division within the Church of Jesus Christ. If you don't know, you don't know, because it is a subject of division. Here's some points. How are we baptized? Submerged or sprinkled? My goodness, they have fought wars over such questions. Baptized into the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or in the name of Jesus. My goodness, if you fall on the wrong side of that, you will be called a heretic. How about infant baptisms? My goodness, people fight you over that. It's a sticking point. Why are you baptized? If you thought how were you baptized is enough. By the way, I knew a guy once who bragged that, you know what, I've been baptized every which way there is to be baptized, so I can go to any church there is. I go to some churches, I tell, they only baptize in the spring. You got to be baptized in a river with moving water. And I'm like, I've been done that. Well, you got to be baptized. Well, I've done that. My goodness, if you could be baptized in Kool-Aid, he would have been baptized in Kool-Aid. I don't know what that guy's deal was, but it was weird. But can I tell you, it's really weird that the Church of Jesus Christ argues over very scriptural things. It's strange that we would rather argue than do. It's weird that we would set up churches against each other than simply live out the command of Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, that's really weird, man. Really weird. So how are you to be baptized? Here's the next one. Why are you to be baptized? Some people say to join a church membership. Some of you didn't know that, but no, that's absolutely true. There's some churches that the reason you're baptized, you aren't a member of their church until you are baptized, and that's why you join it, to become a voting member of the church. How about this? To declare your faith outwardly. Some people will say that is it and nothing more. Some people say to wash your sins away. And then this is the real sticking one. How about this one? Is baptism even necessary? All these arguments. These are just some of the questions that the subject of baptism brings up. These disagreements have caused many people to not walk in the new. Disagreements over Scripture will usually cause green Christians, new Christians, to not walk in the new. I know. My goodness, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. There are churches that lower the bar on serving Jesus. They will lower it all the way to, did you say the sinner's prayer? That's all you've got to do. And they're not ever challenged to step in anything newer than that. They're not challenged to go further. But if they will ever pick up their Bible, see, that's what happened to my Sarah. My Sarah was not raised in this. My Sarah was raised in a place that just said, listen, you just said the sinner's prayer one time when you're 8 years old at a vacation Bible school. That's all you've got to do. But she messed up one day and started reading the book of Acts, and she started asking questions that started making her pastor very nervous, and he could not answer those questions. He just said, that's not important, and that was not good enough for her. Can I tell you, you need to get that in your heart, that you look in the Bible, and nobody can tell you that's not important, because it's in God's word, and you will never be fooled by such foolishness. My goodness. I love people that want to follow God. I love people that look in the Word of God, and even though it's scary, even though it's not normal to them, even though they've never experienced it, they have the faith to just step out into the new, just like Peter stepping out onto the water and walking with Jesus. You got to be willing to step in this new. Am I in the right church today? Are we willing to step into things that we've never even stepped in before? I'm talking to some people in this house, you have never been baptized. And before I'm done today, I am praying in my heart that you will decide to be buried with Christ in baptism. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the believers asked what they needed to do. Peter answered in that next verse. We read it, Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter said, repent and what? Be baptized. Let's start there. Be baptized. It says, baptized. So let me ask you, Bible scholars, based on this text, do you think Peter expected them to actually be baptized? Did he say repent? That's really important, but you know these next steps, they're optional. If you feel like it one day, you might want to go this next step. Is that what he said? It's not what he said at all. He said to be baptized. So Bible scholars, raise your hand if you think Peter expects us to be baptized. Excellent. Raise your hand if you think Jesus expects us to be baptized. Absolutely. Thank you, Amari, preaching with me. I like it. It is so silly to have arguments over baptism. It should be obvious that we should be baptized. The baptism is part of the new that Jesus has for us. So wait, what is baptism? Do we actually understand what it is? The Greek word is baptizo. Say baptizo. And it means to clean by dipping or submerging. Going under that water, dirty, coming out of that water, clean. You got it. Does that sound something like Jesus would be interested in? So who should be baptized? Bring that slide up again. Be baptized, every one of you. Baptism is not limited by position. Only pastors can be baptized. Only missionaries can be baptized. Only, you know, third-ranked elfin wizards in the whatever denomination you're in can be baptized. No, every one of you. Let's go a little further. Gender is not part of the equation. Men and women can be baptized. Every race can be baptized. Everyone should be baptized. Wouldn't it stink if only white people could receive this? Wouldn't it stink if only men could receive this? Or only Jews could receive this? No. This is before they even realized Gentiles could receive it. And he prophetically says, everyone can receive this. My goodness, that's you and that's me. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? Verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip is talking to somebody who's never even considered baptism. And they run, he's hearing about Jesus Christ. And he, number one, let's say this. Philip is preaching Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. And who brings up baptism? the Ethiopian eunuch, because it's a part of the message of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? If we don't preach baptism, we aren't preaching the message of Jesus Christ. It's true. He's preaching Jesus to him, and then he says, baptism, here's water, can I be baptized? Put it together, folks. He's preaching Jesus, and part of preaching Jesus is this Acts 2:38 message, repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Spirit. Peter says to be baptized, to be cleaned in the water, and this new thing is for everyone. If you believe with all your heart, you can receive the newness of baptism. If you've never been baptized, I got a question for you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross for you? Then yes, you can be baptized. So do it. Get baptized. We have a lot more to talk about, but right now I want to ask you, do you believe? Then you need to be baptized. Peter goes on to say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that what he says? In the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is our Savior? Who is the Son of God? Who gave his life on the cross? Who walked on the water, fed the multitude, raised the dead, healed the sick, defeated death, hell, and the grave, rose again on the third day? We are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It would make no sense to be baptized in the name of anyone else. Don't be baptized in the name of Buddha. That would be totally dumb. Be baptized in the name of the one and only Jesus Christ. Baptism in the name of Jesus is a celebration of who? Jesus Christ. Baptism in the name of Jesus is a public declaration that who is your Lord? Jesus. Baptism in Jesus' name makes you belong to who? Jesus, the Savior. In the very theologically sound movie, Toy Story, someone got some humor in it. All y'all are scared to death of me. Thank you, Taria. Gold star for Taria today. In the very theologically sound movie, Toy Story, there are these toys, and the toys belong to who, and how do we know they belong to this person? Go ahead and tell me, sir. Andy, and how do we know they belong to Andy? Because what? Because his name is on them. Look at that screen right there. What name do you see on the bottom of Buzz Lightyear? What name do you see on the bottom of Woody, the cowboy? There's a snake in his boot, but there's also the name on the bottom of that boot, and it's the name of Andy. And that shows what? Ownership. When you went to grade school, before you would take anything to school, your mom would write your name on it so you wouldn't lose it to someone else. That belongs to me, and I can prove it because my name is on it. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus, it is him putting his name on you, and you belong to him. Do you understand it? When you are baptized in the name of Jesus, the Lord is writing his name upon you, and you belong to him. In Revelation 22, it says that we will be face to face with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Look what else happens right here. They will see his face. And his what? Somebody say it like you believe. And his what? His name is going to be where? It's going to be written on their person. It's going to be written on their forehead. I want you to get this picture real quick. Let's take one step. You understand this, that there is the mark of a beast. And it's going to show up where? The forehand or the right hand. The forehead or the right hand. Let me tell you, the devil wants to put his name on you, but you can have Jesus put his name on you. Can I tell you, there is no middle ground on this. You are either going to take the name of Jesus upon you, or you're going to take another name upon you, and you will belong to someone else. I want the name of Jesus written on me. I want to belong to him. Just like anybody else picks up one of my toys, it has my name on it, they know it belongs to me. The devil needs to get his hands off me, needs to get his hands off my wife and my children, because the name of Jesus is written on them, and you've got no right to touch them in the name of Jesus. My gosh. Thank you. Just like when you're born, your parents put a name on you. When you are born again, Jesus, who is the everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:6 says, at that moment, he causes you to be born again, and who else to put his name upon you but the everlasting Father, Jesus Christ. Belonging to a family requires you take on the family name. Can I remind you that Jesus Christ looked at those people who did not believe, and he told them that their father was the, their father was the, their father was the devil. That they wouldn't receive the name of Jesus. You either have an everlasting father named Jesus, or you got another dad. You got to decide who that's going to be. You got to be deciding which name you're going to be called by. He is coming for people that are called by his, by his church denomination, right? No, by his style of worship. No, by his nationality or creed, right? No, by his name. He's coming for a people called by his name. Are you called by the name of Jesus or what? Yeah. Yes, I want his name written on me. Peter said to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, some will tell you, you know what? Are you saying that we really have to do that? Really? Like, they'll actually make fun of you when they say it. Like, come on, Chris, like, I'm going to give you a patronizing laugh. Come on, you can't be this serious about that. But Peter is telling you to step into the new. Peter is telling you to step in the name of the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Alex. Some will say it's no big deal. Sorry, the name of Jesus is about the biggest deal I can think of. Watch what Peter says about this very same name in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He's in danger of being beaten within an inch of his life in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And he looks at those accusers in the eye and he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Is there any other name under heaven? Has mankind been given any other name? What is that name? What's the only name that saves? Do you love the name of Jesus? I'm telling you, I couldn't be saved without Jesus. I love his name. I love his name. Do you believe the name of Jesus is the only saving name? Some will tell you to pray in Jesus' name, but turn around and condemn you for being baptized in his name. Oh, yes, it's true. Would you believe it happened to me within a year? Does anybody remember when we were looking for a new church building? I went to one church. One such church, got no hard feelings against them. God bless them. But we went there. We're asking, we're trying to work things out. Is there a way we could rent your church building to come worship together? And he's like, I don't know. Let me look at your belief statement. Didn't want to hear about how we're keeping people off the street and from being homeless or feeding people. No, we went, I want to see if I approve of your belief statements. All right, sure. Great, man. Here's the belief statement. He's looking down the list and pulls down those glasses.
Oh, well, notice here, that's really strange, because it says that you're baptizing people in the name of Jesus. Do you understand that that's the wrong way to baptize people? In fact, y'all can't rent this place, because I'm afraid you're heretics.
Literal conversation. Literal conversation. Guess what? The Bible tells us that you will be judged because of your association with who? Jesus. That the world will judge you because of your association with who? Jesus. My goodness, if you are going to judge me, sir, on anything, let it be that I love Jesus and that I love his name above every name and that I believe the Bible and that I will live according to that word of God. Sorry, bro. Scripture is very clear. What should we do in Jesus' name? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 gives us a great answer. Let's look at it. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do you understand that it's a command that you do everything in Jesus' name? Not just baptism. You need to get up in the morning in Jesus' name. You need to go into that meeting that you're worried about in Jesus' name. When you are worried about the bills, you need to go in Jesus' name. Everything you do, you're supposed to do in the name of Jesus. You need to stop doing things in your name. And you need to start doing them in the name that's above every name. Do you understand this? That you're doing it under his power and his will and his authority. It's the name of Jesus. My goodness. Do it all in the name. Philippians 2 and 9 says this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Look back at verse 10. Can you throw it back to verse 10 for me, tech team? Verse 10, look at that. Does it say, at the voice of Jesus? It doesn't. And that's good, because who here has the voice of Jesus? Anybody can present the voice of Jesus? Can you bear the voice of Jesus? No, I don't have the voice of Jesus on me. Does it say, the face of Jesus, at the face of Jesus? Does it say that? It doesn't, and that's good, right? Because who can present the face of Jesus? We don't even know what he looked like. Who here can bear the face of Jesus? Like, you no longer see my face, you see his face. Anybody? No, not at all. If it were any other thing, you couldn't present it. At the social security number of Jesus, you just pull it out. What, you don't have one of those? You must not really be saved. Got a social security card for you? No, that's crazy. You couldn't present that, right? How about this? At the Instagram profile of Jesus. Is that what it says? Not at all. At the clothes of Jesus, you just put on what he wore, right? Get the Shroud of Turin or something weird, right? No, no, not at all. You can't present any of those things, and you can't bear any of those things. But it doesn't say any of those things. It says at the name of Jesus Christ. You can present the name. Everywhere you are, you can call out the name of Jesus. I've been driving before and a car about to knock me off the side of the road, but I called out the name of Jesus, and I don't know what happened, but I just went right on my way, and that car just went somewhere else. I don't know how it happened, but I know I called on the name of Jesus. You can present that name. You can speak that name. And in baptism, you can bear that name. That name is upon you. Are you with me today? Be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus. What does he say next? For the forgiveness. We got a screen right here. Let's see it, Alex. Come on. For the what? For the forgiveness of sins. All right, Peter tells that crowd to step into new by being baptized. And finally, he tells them the purpose. For the forgiveness of your sins. We talked about sin last week. What's that Greek word for sin? Anybody remember? Hamartia. Awesome, love it. Hamartia means to what? To miss the mark. To fall short of God's will and glory. We told you that in repentance you turn away from sin. We told you that when you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive. Now Peter is telling us to be baptized for the forgiveness, for the remission, for the erasing of our sins. Is that what he's saying? Am I making this up? No. Some will tell you, no, You don't need to step into that baptismal tank. You don't need to step into baptism. You already repented, and that's really all you need to do. The deeper you step into the new, the more voices are going to speak to you to stop. You don't have to go any further, but God is calling you further. So you need to decide which voice you're going to listen to. God is calling you into the new. Will you step into it? Peter says, for the forgiveness of sins. And can I tell you, this is not out of step with the rest of Scripture? Let's prove it. Ananias tells Paul in Acts 22:16. And now, what are you waiting for? How about that for a baptism scripture? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and say the next phrase. And wash your sins away, calling on what? Calling on his name. It sounds to me like Ananias is telling Paul to be baptized, to wash away his sins. And Peter reiterates this notion in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. They were saved by going through what? Now that's crazy, because you think reverse on that. You think that they're saved by being in the ark. They're actually saved by the water coming upon the earth and washing away everything that's unclean. By washing away everything that's in rebellion to God. By washing away that says everything that says no God, I say no to your rule and reign. Guess what? When you are going into the baptismal tank, you are being saved through that same water that is washing away all your rebellion. It is washing away all your anger. It is washing away all your disobedience to the word of God. Well, how do you know? How do you know he's talking about baptism? Because you read the next verse. And this water symbolizes baptism. That now, y'all work with me. That now what? Saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't agree about this scripture about baptism saving you, do you agree about the resurrection of Jesus saving you? Same verse. The water of the flood that washed away the sin of the world points us symbolically to the water of baptism that saves you also. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of it. I believe it with all my heart. You must be born again of water and spirit. You must. You want to be saved? Follow God's word. Step into this newness. The water of the flood that washed away the sin of the world. That is what baptism is. Peter goes on to tell us that baptism is not taking a bath. He says, not the removal of dirt from the body. Is that what it says? Instead, baptism clears something on the inside. It clears your conscience toward God. Baptism does something on the inside of you. Baptism is not external only. Baptism is internal. Do you agree with it? Baptism is not just an outward sign. Baptism is also a spiritual inward work. There is a phrase around Christianity that I can't stand describing baptism. Here it is. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward work. And what they really mean is that baptism is just an outward sign that God has already done something inside. And now you're just showing everyone with the outside what he is doing on the inside. Do you see the subtlety of that? Not only is it an outward sign, but at the same time, it is a spiritual inside work of God's Spirit in you. Do you understand? If you do, say amen. Have you been baptized? If not, I want you to be baptized. Do you feel that? Do you feel that I want you to be baptized? Have I convinced you that I want you to be? All right, good, excellent. I want you to step into the new. I want you to make up your mind right now that, yeah, I'm going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to search this out. Yeah, I want to do this. If that is you, I want everybody, go ahead and pull out your phone right now. Just pull out your phone right now. Out your phone right now. Phone right out in your hand. And I want you to text 469-467-8111. And I want you to tell me that you want to be baptized. Tell me. If you've never been baptized, if this is hitting you in the heart right now, if you've got questions about it, I want you to text me, 469-467-8111. And I want you to say, yes, I want to be baptized. Now, let me talk to you. Maybe you were baptized, but it was not really you making that decision. Maybe someone else made you do it. Maybe you were even baptized as a baby. Can I tell you, you need to make the decision. You make the decision. You don't do it because someone peer pressured you at a summer camp. No, you make this decision. And if you look back and you go, I don't know if I really made that decision. I don't know if I really understood what I was doing. Text me, 469-467-8111. Maybe you felt like someone was making that decision for you. Maybe you didn't understand the significance. Maybe you were baptized as an infant. Maybe, let's say this, maybe you were not baptized in the name of Jesus. Why don't you text us? Pull out that phone, 469-467-8111. Tell us that you want to be baptized. Here's what we're going to do when you text us. We have a very short Bible study. We will meet with you. We will give you this Bible study. It's exactly what the Word of God says on the subject. It will answer all your questions about baptism. And then at the end of that baptism Bible study, I guarantee you, you will want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. How about that, church? How about it? How about it? I'm going to ask our musician to come. We're going to be opening these altars in just a moment. Can I remind you that it's all about the death, the burial, and the resurrection? I'm going to point out something to you maybe you've never seen before. You believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and then you live out the gospel, the good news of Jesus. You see, it's not about just hearing it. Then you actually live it out. The gospel is what? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And our response in believing the gospel, we read about it in Acts 2:38. Here it is. It's repentance, baptism, in the infilling of the Spirit. I want to tell you, Romans 6:2 tells us that repentance is a death to sin. You receive the gospel that Jesus died, and how you live it out is you repent. That's death to sin. And then baptism, what do you think that is? It's burial. You live out repentance, and that's death. In baptism is where you live out the burial. Romans 6:4, two verses after this one on repentance. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in the order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What's the burial? It's baptism. You want to live out the burial? You get baptized. And then there's the resurrection. What do you think the resurrection is? It's the infilling of his Spirit. The Spirit infilling is your resurrection. The Bible says if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it's going to quicken your mortal bodies by that Spirit. That's a King James Version way of saying it's going to bring you to life. It's the Spirit that does it. It is the resurrected new life through the Spirit, being born again by the Spirit. Through the gospel, you don't just receive a new thing. You receive a new life. Are you experiencing this new life? Be honest. Be honest. If Jesus has this new life for you, are you actually living in it? And are you experiencing the joy of that? I want to tell you that it's here. It's waiting for you today because Jesus Christ is here waiting for you today. He wants to give it to you. So let's come. Let's talk to Jesus. I want you to stop skipping God's new. It's no longer an option. Come, receive God's new in this place. I want to challenge every person to take a step from their seat. Some of you, you might have heard something today that you've never heard before. Some of you might not even agree with it, but I want you to come to this altar today asking the Lord about it. I want you to be willing to step into those new things. If you are in need of prayer, I want you to come up to the front of this stage. We want to pray for you. We want to see God do brand new, miraculous things in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this house, God. I thank you for the death, God. I thank you for the burial, and I thank you for the resurrection. And God, I thank you that we too can have this new life, that we too can take part in your gospel. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would get a hold of our hearts, Lord, that we would be transformed by your power in the name of Jesus. Everyone watching, listening online, I want you to get a hold of your Bible. I want you to decide what you're going to do. I want you to walk into the new. You will not regret it in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this place. Come on, lift up your hands and surrender to him in this place. We're not waiting on a bus. God's presence is here, and we are desperate to receive it right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.